gentlemen, put your hands together for PK. PK, I should say, you take the job. You win the job.
Good evening, everyone. It's a very nice evening, so we are not going to take a lot of time. First of all, I'm excited to be here to speak to you about common sense issues. But we all know that common sense is not very common. That's very true. And there's something also which we know, that you don't really have to agree with what I'm going to say. No. But the fact that you probably be listening, there could be one or two things that you'll pick. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about entrepreneurship and finances, making sure that we keep the money. I always keep wondering why, especially indigenous Ugandans, are not keep money. When you look far beyond, the oldest company, the oldest testimony of entrepreneurship today in the world is a company called Stora, which is in the southern parts of Sweden. Stora is 936 years old. Fuji Sumitomo in Japan, both companies are about 535 years old. Among the Ugandan nations, the oldest company, let me not talk about Marivana and Meta, is well over 100 years old. Among the indigenous black Ugandans, the oldest company is roughly 49 years, which is called Chapagalas. Now, what comes to mind is, what is the problem with us indigenous black Ugandans? Another point of thinking, another point of concern. Uganda has got per capita income, which is $300. Per capita income in Uganda is $300. Uganda is among the 30 least developed countries in the world. But in Uganda, a wedding costs $20,000 when the per capita income is $300. I have come here tonight to ask you, enlightened members of the younger generation of Uganda, to cause a revolution in this country, to cause a revolution in the area of entrepreneurship and finances. Let's look again beyond Uganda borders. Let's go to the United States. Countries where the education system is considered to be the best. Norway, Switzerland, United States, and Japan. Children from a very early age, from grade 1 to grade 12, are taught every day for 2 hours. They are taught the virtues of respect for those who don't look like you, respect for elders, loyalty, entrepreneurship, virtues of mathematics. This is what they are taught, 2 hours every day. Entrepreneurship, they are taught every day, 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, these some children are taught. The entrepreneurial success of individuals who took risks and moved away from the comfort of regular jobs and certainties of the present to move on and create something out of nothing. People like Andrew Carnegie, people like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, the man who discovered the electric bulb, Henry Ford, the automobile giant, they are taught from a very young age that it's possible to risk and take life in your own hands and create your own goals, whether financial, career goals, or whatever goals. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have goals of your own, you are doomed forever to fulfill the goals of someone else. I'll repeat. If you do not have goals of your own, clearly defined and laid out, you are doomed forever to fulfill the goals of someone else. These children are taught that you alone can change things, just like Andrew Carnegie did, just like Henry Ford did, just like Benjamin Franklin. They are even taught more. He had talked about Bezos, Jeff Bezos, the Amazon giant. He had talked about Steve Jobs. He had talked about Bill Gates and so on. The very latest guys in terms of money. Because the wealthiest people today in the world, the businesses are not more than 10 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move to India. India, where we have got uncaged entrepreneurs. In India, there is a celebration of entrepreneurship. Today, in India, and as you are aware, India is supposed to be economy number 3 in the world, probably in the next 15, 20 years. It's going to be economy number 3 after China and the United States. In India, children again are taught from an early stage, again about entrepreneurship. This time, bent in the IT or ICT angle and dimension. India has got the hottest points in entrepreneurship today in the area of IT. In centers like Bangalore and others, India produces close to 3,000 scientists and specialists in IT every year. That is the hottest and largest production of brain power in the world today, from one center. With over 100 billion US dollars in reserves. If you are joining what you call the Indian Institute of Technology, you have to go through a very serious scrutiny and very serious selection process. I don't know of any country in Africa except Rwanda, which delivers over 100 students every year to the Indian Centers of Knowledge and Technology. India supplies IT manpower throughout the world. And those people, when they go out there, after 5 years, they come back. So we don't talk about brain drain anymore. We talk about brain gain. We talk about brain gain, not brain. The issue of double citizenship is no longer a security issue. It's now an economic issue. Ladies and gentlemen, let me come back to Uganda. What is our situation in Uganda in terms of entrepreneurship? Majority of us have gone to school, and in school we are being conditioned to look for jobs. Tonight, let us refocus our minds to turning our ivory towers into economic engines. Let's move quickly to move our ivory towers, centers of knowledge, into economic engines. Let us create something. Let us go into centers where there are problems, where there is a crisis in our country. Let us look right deep in there. That's where the opportunity is. A man called Rahm Emanuel, the White House Chief of Staff today, said something. He says that never let a crisis go to waste. Every crisis carries an opportunity. In Chinese or in Mandarin, the word crisis means both tragedy or opportunity. Uganda is churning out a lot of graduates today, well over 400 or whatever. But the percentage of those who are getting jobs is very little. Very, very minimal. And for many of you who are now in gainful employment, formal employment, I don't know how long you keep your jobs. Because we don't know how long, how protracted, how deep, and how severe the economic slowdown will be. We don't know. So the possibility of losing a job is real. Today, an employee has got 8 employers by the time he's age 32. Formerly, someone will reach age 55 when he has had only 4 employers. Today, 8 employers by age 32. Ladies and gentlemen, the possibilities of entrepreneurship are with us because of the problems that this country has. Let's start with spending money. Spending money. When we get money, first of all, money is an extremely emotional issue. For many of us, money is not logical. And that's why you find someone going to the supermarket, you ask him, what are you going to buy in there? He says, I'm going to buy mineral water.
So you ask him, but you said you are going to buy mineral water. What are you doing with the story? I said, you never know what may happen. Let me just go with it. Now the issue here is,
we don't pack a lot of thinking. In summary, the thing is, Many of us spend and think. We don't think and spend. It is spend and then think later. Good people, my point of advice tonight is we need to create a solution somewhere and create a job or provide some kind of multiple income streams. Because just imagine for us, if you lost your job today, the risk is, if you lost your job today, how long can you continue to enjoy the same standard of living you are doing now? Or should they suspend salaries until March next year? How would we go? And for many of us, we will fight and cause rebellion. But we have been getting salaries since January. We are supposed to make at least 80% of your monthly net pay. We are supposed to make about 80%. And 3 months consolidated pay, we should have that in terms of emergency. And 1/10 of our new income times our current age. This is the money we need to make a difference if we are moving from one career to another. Our debt servicing should not exceed 36% of our next month's net pay. And where do we get all this? We get it from business, entrepreneurship. We must create a business that generates this. And the business has capital. For many of us, I think capital is money. The word capital comes from a Latin word which is called capitalis, which means brain. So when you say you have no capital, you are equally saying you have no brain. And what has happened in much of the time here in Uganda is that majority of us live hand to mouth. That's what it is. Why? Because our standard of living is pitched at a level way beyond our reach. We spend money which we have not earned on things we don't absolutely need to impress people who do not even care. So for many of us, some of us are blessed here now, some are blessed, but the majority of you will leave this place without anybody noticing how expensive what you're wearing is. Or you buy a vehicle, a RAV4 model 2007, and you think Kampala will come to stand still because you have got a new RAV4. Now the point here is, you may even have to defend it, that this is RAV4 model 2007, but nobody cares. Nobody has even seen. And 60% of the wealthiest people in the world today, ladies and gentlemen, have reduced their spending by 40%. Why? Because their net income is going down. And the issue now, the fight is distinguishing between what are needs and what are desires. We spend approximately 400,000 a month on contributions, many of us. In Uganda, it's not on the contributions. I think in Uganda, we spend a lot of time also in festivities. This is amazing. I have had experience to work in Nairobi. I've had experience to work in Europe. I've had experience to stand and work in the United States. There's something strange about Ugandans. Like I've told you, our per capita income is $300. The wedding is $20,000. In the United States, the per capita income is $30,000, almost $40,000. The amount they spend on a wedding is not more than $5,000. In China, per capita income is $5,000. The amount they spend on a wedding is not more than $1,800. In Uganda, $20,000. So you have to make a convoy. You have to organize a convoy when you are going for introduction. To prove what? To prove the poverty stronghold and the poverty mentality. Because you have to have all those marks at all. People do not want really those things. They are not hungry, they are not dying. What they want is testimony and proof of passion and love. But because of the poverty stronghold, which we still have with our 300 per capita income, there is a need to prove a point. You drive a Corona second hand, you are in a limo because you are waiting. $20,000. And you don't even know that you hold a job in the next 3 months. Because the job is not your grandfather's. And there's no control over the economy, really, and the global economic situation. In Uganda, if I would like us to think of something as we talk about spending, that we need to develop a plan, we need to develop a budget. If you don't have a plan for the future will definitely have a plan for you. And the issue is what kind of future or what kind of plan will this future have? I've already told you that if you don't have any personal financial goals, you are doomed forever to work for somebody else's financial goals. Traditionally, Ugandans are supposed to be savers.
that we don't save anymore. Look at these statistics. The current savings rate, an ordinary Ugandan here saves, or rather in Uganda, we save just about 6% of the GDP. In Kenya, with there so many cooperative societies, we save about 46% of GDP. Tanzania is 28%, and Rwanda is 26%. Uganda, 6%. Why? There are all sorts of luxuries. There is a chibunda, there are beach parties. I'm not talking about this type of party, because this one, there must be something educational problem about this party. We enjoy festivities. When you are in Nairobi, and a speaker from wherever it comes from is going to address people, corporate world, students, professionals, the bookings are full and completed 2 months in advance. In Uganda, up to the very last day, there is no booking. But when it comes to festivities, Miss Uganda, when there are festivities like Pamawad, Chibunda, the booking is solid and rock hard months before it takes place. Now the issue here is, ladies and gentlemen, think about 5 years from today. Think about 5 years from today. What would your situation be in terms of personal financial independence? Personal financial independence is defined as the capacity to generate income from personally invested resources. You generate income from personally invested resources, not from your employer. Not from your employer. If you work in MTN, you cannot keep claiming that in the next 3, 4, 5 years, I will be drawing a salary and that's my income. Absolutely not. And income is money which you have made outside your employer. With or without your employer, you are able to stand. 80% of this income must come from personal invested resources. Good people, we come to credit. The screen is not showing this right. It's supposed to be spending, saving, and credit management. Good debt and bad debt. I think we all secure credit, but there's always good credit and bad credit. I think in Uganda, we have multiplicity and assortment of facilities that we have today. Car loan, personal loan, wedding loan, I think there's even textile loan, and so on and so forth. And the issue here is, whichever debt you secure or procure must be able to produce income. Set a smart goal to manage your debt effectively, and watch the interest rate. Uganda's interest rate is 19%. Kenya's is 12, Tanzania is 16. And Uganda, I need to remind you that Uganda is position 128 in the global competitiveness scale. In terms of doing business, Rwanda has moved to position 67. Kenya is 93. Tanzania is 112. Uganda, where we spend the largest amount of money on festivities, on saloons, on enjoyment, we are position 128. Good people, tonight is going to be a night of reflection. How do we use this network? How do we use these connections to build a stock of knowledge that we can share? Build ideas. Entrepreneurship is about ideas. How can we bring these ideas to transform the way we spend money in this country and the way we earn it? Good people, universities today are hotbeds of ideas. Capital, which we talk about, is ideas. The word capital itself means ideas. Investment. I was told just a few minutes before I came in, I was talking to someone, and he told me, you know, we are collecting money, and we are investing in trees. I said, that's a wonderful idea. I said one of the interesting things is when we caused this revolution on personal financial independence, I think the ladies in Uganda are leading the way. I have had the opportunity to speak to a couple of women groups, and there's one group I know of women, young professionals, they are all women, there are about 80 of them. They started this group, I think, in 2004, and they collect money every month. There's what you call a first saving scheme. And these ladies, by 2005,
2005 December, they had collected something close to 80 million. And when the Islamic Bank floated shares, they used all the money and bought shares. And when the bell rang in January 2006, they offloaded the shares. I think a share was going for 220 shillings from 70 shillings. Then they bought land, they bought 1 square mile, I think somewhere in Bururi, and planted South African pine. 630 acres South African pine. South Africa has used up much of its arable land. The rest of the arable land is north of Limpopo, in countries like Uganda. South Africa has the largest paper mills in the world. And today we have got the environmental lobby, which requires us to use biodegradable materials. So in other words, paper is going to be in demand for a long time. So Uganda and other countries next to Uganda can be used as outgrowers to support the South African mills or paper mills. These ladies today have a second square mile, and they have planted South African eucalyptus. These are 2 square miles. Ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are familiar with trees, you know how much 1 acre of South African pine costs. Who knows? Who knows how much acre of pine, grown pine? No. What did the rest of you invest in? What have you invested in? All of investment hasn't started. I would like to talk about an initiative that has been started by DFCU Bank. DFCU Bank has set up what you call business and investment clubs, not only among SMEs, but also among students. These investment clubs are a way of harnessing productive synergies among students and among business people, coming together, working together, and staying together in terms of analyzing trends, insights, and patterns of economic growth and development. So DFCU has a couple of these business and investment clubs. And I do believe that the 360-degree network is a network of knowledge and entrepreneurial skill. This reminds me of something. I would like to engage those of you who still have the time to listen. How many seconds do we have in a year? How many seconds do we have in a year? The questions are two. You're going to pass one and fail the other. How many seconds do we have in a year? The second question is, what are those 2 days that start with the T? 2 most important days of the week which start with the T. Now, I would like someone to try. 2 questions. Yes, how many seconds? Yes? Tuesday and Thursday. Entrepreneurship is not about obvious things. I'm sorry, no, ma'am. Yes? Today and tomorrow. Investment is about today and tomorrow. So when you get your salary, it's about today and tomorrow. Some of us don't have children, but what about college fees? The demonstration of your parental care is tested to the full when your children are going to university. When we talk about spending, I didn't mention the fact that when you get your salary, you only own 50% of that salary. 10% doesn't belong to you. The first 10%, there is a second 10%, there is a third 10%, and a fourth 10%, and another, what you call 10%. Now, this is 50% in total. Now, the first 10% belongs to who? Where does the first 10% go? Now, the first 10% goes to God in form of tithe or in form of zakah when you give a Muslim. Now, for those of you who go to witchcraft, the percentage is very high. Because it's It's an unregulated market. Now, the witchcraft people, that's okay. But when we talk about finance management, many of us don't talk about this. So you have to return what does it belong to you. What about the second 10%? The second 10% is emergency fund. The third 10% is what we call business fund. This is the money that you raise to form capital that will generate a business that will generate the 80% which you need. I know two young ladies who work in the bank here. One of them is about 28 years old. She has got about 87 bodaboda on the road. She's about 28 years old. She doesn't stand out in the window to check whether the bodaboda has passed or not. She's got 87 of them. She has set up a business which allows her to report at 7 in the bank and go back home at 7. Her brother, who is just about 32 years old, has got 45 matatus on the road. He also doesn't care because he works. He's got form employment. How do these people do it? Set up an agreement, get the guy to work on the bodaboda. I want 7,000 shillings every day. Within 17 months, the bodaboda is yours. You take it or leave it. You miss one day without the money, the deal is cancelled. This is smart working and creating a business. Generated from the business fund. Let's go to the third 10%. The fourth 10% is investment fund. We need to put money aside for investment. And the fifth is what we call, in the United States, I think it's called college inflation. Many of us have children. Others don't have children among you. Good people, by the time you get these children, will you have a job? And if you have a job, will you be able to pay for university education? Good people, I want you to kick out any assumptions you have in your heads that the children that are being brought up now are going to look after you. Work knowing too well that the children you are producing now are not going to look after you. The way you look after your parents now, we are approaching holiday season. Some of you are going to buy goodies and take them to the village. That's okay. That's your generation. The upcoming generation, people are not going to look after you. And they expect the best education. There is a margin for college inflation. The remaining 50%, you divide them between discretionary and mandatory expenses. So for many of us who don't do this, this is tough. I go back to the question asked. How many seconds are in here? How many seconds do you have in here? How many seconds do you have in here? No. All of seconds in here. 12 seconds in here. How? Every month, God gives you a chance to think again. There is always a second chance. Second in January, second in February, second in March, second in April, so that you don't eat money that doesn't belong to you. Right now, some of us have got wonderful spending habits. You've got a RAV4, 4-wheel drive, 5 doors. You don't even have a key. By the time you get a key, that's the time you need this vehicle. And probably even when the kid is in primary school, you probably don't need a 4-wheel drive. And maybe by the time the kid needs this 4-wheel drive, you'll have no vehicle, you'll probably be a single mother or a single father, and you'll probably be tired, emotionally worn out, intellectually exhausted, and physically fatigued. Ladies and gentlemen, let's look at the future. You've just told me that the most important days of the week, the two T's, is today and tomorrow. What's wrong with our saving? You cannot invest unless you save. Life is risky. What are those risks we face? Number one, loss of a job. Number two, you could become disabled. You could become disabled. Number three, you could die early and leave debts. Leave debts with a grocer, leave debts in banks, leave debts with many other people. Or the other risk is you could live long without money. You could live long without money at all. The other last risk is emergencies. Good people, we don't have a lot of time tonight, but we've got to fix them because there are facilities in banks and solutions in banks to put money aside. Keep it aside that earns you interest. A fixed deposit.
We've got also government securities, treasury bills and treasury bonds. These are just paper. You earn money on them and you can discount them on the counter. They are also offshore investments. Anything outside Uganda is something like an offshore investment. Any investment that you do outside Uganda. Shares and stocks, we are very familiar with this, except many of us don't pay attention. We don't want to buy knowledge on what is the difference between these shares. So we imagine that Safaricom shares are the same as Tamik. Real estate, we're familiar with that. I want to spend time on agroforestry. Agroforestry, in as far as I know, might be where Uganda's future is. Growing forestry and provident funds for those of us who work with others. So premium savings insurance. And on Sunday in the morning, we've got business as usual and finance news. Just before you go to church, those of you who go to church, at 8 in the morning. Now, if you are tired and worn out, you won't watch anything. You won't listen to anything. At 10 p.m., there is Zakaria, I think it's called Zakaria Farid, or Farid Zakaria. We're talking about finance trends, patterns, insights. Where do we invest next? Where is money going to flow from and flow to next? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to conclude my presentation and talk about growing yourself. An architect, a famous architect, very famous, was nearing the end of his career, and journalists convened in his office and asked him, what has been your best design in life? This architect was called John Wright. He had received so many awards for his wonderful architectural designs. So when the journalist convened his office and asked him what has been his best design, he paused a little and told these journalists, it's very easy to tell you what my best design has been. They said, yes, you name it. He said, my next one. You have not yet made your best deal for as long as you are alive. You have not made your best investment decision for as long as you are alive. You have not yet made your best business for as long as you are alive. As we speak now, I think the corporate sector paid about 2 weeks ago, paid salaries, but I'm very sure 50% of the people here who are employed are stone broke and looking forward next month. That's okay. That's fine. You haven't yet made your best money decision yet. You're going to make it now. Grow yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Set the goal. I repeat what I said at the beginning. If you do not have goals of your own to focus on in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you are doomed forever to serve goals of other people. Set up a goal that is smarter. Very simple, very specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, but more importantly, ethical and recorded. So today we talk about smarter goals, not smart goals. Then let's put this in the context of reality. Let's do what we are able to do really. And let's create the possibilities for this and start. Let's wrap up. Boost yourself by developing a balanced portfolio, both business and investment. Be objective about it and not too sentimental and so much attached to it, because much of it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to your children. Own up and draw commitment from it and be very specific in your actions in a timely way. Ladies and gentlemen, as I prepare to finish the personal finance, I would like to give you some small assignment. As you enjoy this evening, think about something. If you were to die tonight, or if you were to wake up blind, or if you were to lose a job next week, what would your situation be? How many friends would you still have? How many of the guys laughing and smiling to you now would switch off their phones and you call? Good people, what are those money habits that you need to have and practice? What are the barriers to these habits and practices?
What support do you need, both internal and external, and what kind of actions are you going to take now? What would you want to be? What would you want to do? What would you want to have? 2-3 years from now, that's option one. This is for you. This is the assignment for you as you walk out of here. Think about your family. Think about your children, born and unborn. Think about the ceremonies that we have. In Uganda, we've got ceremonies. We've got motorcades and motorcades, you know. And really, the functions that we have are personal. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to conclude with this short story. The Chinese bamboo tree is one of the most fascinating plants in the world. It's a tree whose seed is put in the ground, and it requires to be watered. It requires to be, you need to apply manure, you need to nurture it. Well, there's no sign at all that anything will come out of the ground. There is no sign at all that you have to studiously watch over the ground, pour water, add manure, and look after it. You do this for approximately 5.5 years. Then it shoots out of the ground. And when it shoots out of the ground, it takes exactly 9 months to shoot to 90 feet above the ground. That's the Chinese bamboo tree. Which brings us to the point about preparation. Preparation is planning. Planning for years ahead that we don't have control over. Many of us have got an exaggerated opinion of ourselves. Why? Because of the colonial structure of things. The colonial said when you get a degree, you are knowledgeable. But it's very possible that you have got a degree without education. It's very possible that you passed exams because you were crappy. You were agitating what the teachers were telling you. That is not quite an indication of intellect. No. Intellect is something much more. It's the capacity to think and analyze at abstract level, different levels of abstraction. This is where entrepreneurship comes in, money making and retaining money. So for many of us in Uganda, when you have got a degree and probably second one and a third one, you believe you are on top of the world, you can control money, you can manage money, you can raise it. Ladies and gentlemen,